Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. James 1:17. Hi, I'm Rob West. If everything we have comes from God, it matters how we use those resources. Today, I'll talk with Ken Boa and Russ Crossan about the principles of biblical leverage and using God's resources for His glory. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's great to have Ken Boa and Russ Crossan on the program again today. Ken is a pastor and founder of Reflections Ministries. Russ is executive vice president and chief mission officer at Ronald Blue Trust. Ken, Russ, great to have you back with us.
Good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
I'm glad to be with you.
Now, this is actually, gentlemen, the second of our interviews on the book the two of you wrote together. It's, of course, titled Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. We think, of course, everyone should pick up a copy, and that's why, until the end of the year, we're making it available to folks for a gift of any amount to FaithFi. Just go to faithfi.com and click on the Give tab. We'd love to put a copy in your hands today, just as our way of saying thanks for supporting the ministry. Now, before we get into the principles of biblical leverage, I want to revisit this idea of what biblical leverage is. You know, as Christians, we give to our church, perhaps to some other ministries as well, hopefully. Is that biblical leverage, Ken, or is there more to it?
The concept of leverage is something more than just the idea of what my ideas are, but rather what the scriptures are. What does the Spirit guide me to do? How much is enough? And then to really process this prayerfully before God, because the way we desecrate the altar of mammon is by giving it away. So it's a violation of the downward pull that the world would naturally define us by our net worth. We define us by our pile of money that we have accumulated. That's a great danger, because we are going to look for security, significance, and satisfaction, but we're going to look for them in the wrong place if we do not get this right.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, one of the questions folks struggle with a lot is, how much should I give? Ken, will you give them a framework to think about answering that question?
Yeah. As I look at it, and it's interesting, as I said before, that the Old Testament really has four different tithes. If you count one as a passive tithe, it actually had to do with their not actually using their own land and so forth, gleaning it to the edge. So it's an incredible thing. But in the New Testament, we have principles, and it doesn't tell us an exact amount, but there are certain minimums that we need to see. And how do we define it? Part of it is that you are privileged to give, so to give cheerfully is one of the key components that we see in the epistles. The principles as well include the idea of giving proportionately, and that is a radically different thing, because the more people have in this world, the less proportion they tend to give. They make that blunder of looking at it in terms of dollars instead of proportion. And so that's a huge issue, and it requires more radical risk, because the more we have, the more it apparently takes for us to risk pursuing the eternal over the temporal, the not yet or the now. So this is a part of the process. And then there are other principles like giving sacrificially. What does that mean, especially for a person who has a really high net worth?
Yes. Yeah, how would you describe that? I mean, Russ, you obviously have worked with a lot of folks who have significant wealth. What does sacrificial giving look like when you've been entrusted with much?
Well, you know, it's hard, because you really have everything you need, and you don't have to sacrifice in the traditional sense of the word, where you have to go without something, but maybe you can go without something. You choose to not do something that you would have normally done, even though you could afford it, and give that, because that's why it gets harder. If you don't have very much, you know what you have to sacrifice. You sacrifice a meal, or you sacrifice whatever, but if you have a lot, it's tough to sacrifice. And I think, you know, that's the faith aspect is, okay, what am I not going to do that I would have normally done once I understand these concepts that Ken's talking about? How can I go beyond my comfort level, whatever that is? And for a lot of people, that will be a sacrifice when they write a check or give an asset that they've never done before. And I think that's what God calls us to do as a faith test, And that's one of the things that our wealth can do for us is help us grow our faith.
Oh, that's exactly right. Well, we're talking today with Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. Their book is called Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. When we come back, much more on this topic, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the giving decision-making process? What about the prosperity gospel? And what is reverse compounding? That and much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In today's world, it can feel overwhelming to think about doing anything than just surviving day by day. We hear billionaires talking about building something with their life. It sounds nice. But how can we build something when peace is far off? 1 Chronicles 14 tells us that the people of Judah couldn't fortify their cities until the land was at peace. Only then could they strengthen themselves and build something. Our hearts are at war. They're restless until they find peace and rest in Christ. And now that we have it, we can build. No, not with money and things. We can build a life that honors the Lord day by day. By faith, we walk with Christ. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Our human hearts long to connect with others, and yet strangely, sometimes we feel alienated from the God we love. Well, nothing will draw you nearer to God than holding daily appointments with Him. And this week on Pathway to Victory, we're learning how to breathe new life into our daily conversations with God. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friends, Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. They have recently co-authored the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. I think it's a must read. In fact, we want to put a copy in everyone's hands with a gift of any amount to FaithFi. Pick up your copy when you make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click the Give tab. Gentlemen, before the break, we were talking about what it looks like to do proportionate giving. And then also in the New Testament, we see this idea of sacrificial giving. Ken, what's important for us to know about that?
Well, this is going to relate to some things we've been talking about, the eternal and the temporal. If faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet, then we are being invited in Scripture to pursue the not yet over the now and the not seen over the visible. That's a huge risk. So in one way, this idea of giving sacrificially is such that it's going to have an impact on my lifestyle. What if a person has $100 million? Mm. Then the question is, what would it take for that to have an impact on their lifestyle? And it's going to have a great deal of influence, because how much does a person really need? I mean, yes. How well can you dress? How well can you eat? And so forth. There's only so much we can do, and it's certainly not $100 million. So these are radical implications of who defines us. Is it our wealth, or is it going to be the word? Is God going to define us and give us our security, significance, or satisfaction, or are we looking for significance because of our possessions? So it's a big challenge. That's why we're told, instruct those who are rich in this present world, and not to be conceited or to fix their hope in the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy.
Yeah, it's something you said earlier. It's this faithfulness to opportunity. What about the role of the Holy Spirit in that decision-making process, Ken?
Seems to me that the training in listening to the voice of the Spirit is something that's been largely neglected in many people of the faith. But we need to pursue that. Is we listen to the prompts of the Spirit and actually ask Him to guide our thinking and our feelings and our thoughts as to where are we to give and to how much are we to give. It's involving Him in that process. The Holy Spirit's a person, not just a force. And so He guides us and illuminates His word. And so deep calls to deep. So it's going to be more radical, though. It's going to be deeper. It's going to be richer than we ourselves might have imagined.
I think, Rob, let me jump in here for a minute if I could. Ken just quoted 1 Timothy 6:17-19, instruct those who are rich to be generous. And I'd like to give the listeners a four-letter word to tie to that scripture, and that's a wise person. A wise person will do that. They'll send it on ahead. They'll work on this issue and talk to the Holy Spirit and listen. Versus the farmer over in Luke 12 who was not rich towards God, and he was called a fool.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what I would challenge folks with is we all have a choice. We either live as a fool or we live as a wise person. I think most people listening would want to be a wise person, not a fool. And so that's helped me have perspective on how important it is that I learn to be generous. Instruct those who are rich in this present world to be generous.
Yeah, it seems like that's a key verse that really should govern our thinking in this area. Ron Blue, our friend, our mutual friend, has taught over the years that there are some barriers to giving. They can be financial, they can be spiritual, they can be a lack of vision, but they can also be relational. Where does accountability come into the equation?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, you know, this is a supernatural thing to start giving and not try to keep. We try to hoard, we try to hold on to. And so I need help in being reminded of these principles we're talking about, but also in my own personal financial situation, God always promises to meet my needs. I've been doing this for over 4 decades. I've never had anybody not have their needs met. So from Philippians, we see that. So if my needs are met, then I can be generous and I can start moving out of my comfort zone. And I won't do that without somebody asking me the hard question, showing me the finish line, and just really challenging me.
Yeah. So what then makes a good steward, Russ? How would you define good stewardship?
Well, I've said that good stewardship is when you apply the biblical principles and you allow yourself to be held accountable because you can convince yourself of anything. And guess what, Rob? We're all going to stand before God and make an account. I don't have to make an account for you. You don't have to make an account for me. So we're all ends of one. And so I need to have somebody speaking into my life, helping me be able to stand before God and hear job well done.
Yeah, and that's where accountability comes in. Ken, how does all of this that we've been talking about today reveal the false teaching then of the prosperity gospel?
Yes, the idea that the fruit of the vine is related to this is a false pickup from the Old Testament covenant community. Israel was a theocratic covenant nation, and they were promised that righteousness would lead to expanding your borders and your businesses and everything with your health. And that notion has been falsely carried into the New Testament, because actually in the New Testament, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the vine. And there's no guarantee, no connection between righteousness and well-being in terms of financial well-being, nor is there any claim that unrighteousness would necessarily lead to a loss in that sense in the New Testament. The idea is that it is a matter of God's calling us to pursue those things which will last forever. And so it's a question of allowing God to guide us and to influence our radical decisions to be people for His own possession, who are not pulled around by the allures of the world that it would actually cause us to succumb.
Which leads us to something, Russ, that you call reverse compounding. We're familiar with what compounding is. How does reverse compounding work?
Well, you know, everybody knows you put money in retirement, longer it grows, the bigger it's going to get. But with this giving area, we all have an expiration day. We all have a day we're going to go be with Jesus. And so every day I wait to start my giving journey and start being generous is one last day I have it to compound for my benefit in heaven. Remember we said store up treasures in heaven? And so it's the idea that I don't know when my end game is, but every day I wait is one less day I have an opportunity to use my resources to impact God's kingdom. And so I need to get started sooner than later.
Yeah. Well, it's ultimately an invitation, Ken. You said something in an earlier segment around the opportunity we have. We're actually allowed to be a player. We're allowed to participate in God's activity through our giving. That's a privilege, isn't it?
It is a privilege, and we must choose the way of gratitude, the way of contentment. Those are not emotions. Those are perspectives that we embrace as the more we grasp. Who defines us? Is it the world or is it the Word? The world will define us by default. Do nothing. It'll tell you what to go through and what the price tags are. But the Word will only define you by discipline. You must actually submit yourself to that truth. And then setting your eyes on the things above, your value system changes and you treasure not the temporal, but actually see that the temporal is something that can be leveraged for the eternal. So this is why I love Jesus when he said, again, something we quoted before in Luke 16:9, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness so that when it fails, they'll receive you into the eternal dwellings. Because here, clearly, the currency of the kingdom of God is not money. It's not temporal things. It is relationships. And so the best thing we can do is to take the two things that are going to endure forever, and those are people and the Word, and to build the Word into people by using our things that are passing away, our time, our talent, and our treasure. So by leveraging what's dying and passing away and turning it into that which is going to live forever, that's a wise stewardship.
It sure is. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today, gentlemen, but thanks for stopping by. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you.
That's Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. They're the authors of Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. All the way until December 31st, you can get a copy with a gift of any amount to FaithFi. Just go to faithfi.com and click the Give tab. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to take a quick break and come back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who's been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President, Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. You know, it's that financial question you were wrestling with over the weekend, and you need to make that decision. You're a little stuck in how to do it. Well, we'd like to help you think about that in light of biblical truth here when you call American Family Radio today. Our team is standing by, and we've got lines open. So the only thing left is for you to pick up the phone, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call with any financial question today, and we'd love to tackle it with you. A couple of thoughts here before we dive into your questions today. The first is, coming up a little later in the broadcast, Bob Dahl will stop by. He joins us each Monday with his market commentary and analysis. Bob is a frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC. He's a sought-after speaker on Wall Street. He joins us each Monday to give us his insights on the market, and, well, I'll be interested to hear what Bob has to say. You know, last week was the best week on the S&P 500, the best week of 2023, the entire year. We're starting off in the green today, but little changed. And so we'll get Bob's take on where this economy is headed and how to think about the markets here as we enter the last 2 months of the year. Also, an interesting data out on cost of living adjustments. Here's the reality. In the news today, workers probably shouldn't expect a cost of living adjustment next year. A survey by ResumeBuilder.com of 600 businesses showed that half of them are not planning to give COLAs, that's a cost of living adjustment, in 2024. About a quarter of those surveyed indicate they won't give any kind of raises at all. Of those who are giving COLAs, half said the increase would be 3% or less. Even more troubling, though, is more than half of these businesses anticipate laying off workers in 2024 because of a looming recession. So there's no time like the present to get on a budget that gives you margin to build up that emergency fund. We encourage you to have 3 to 6 months living expenses saved up so that you can get through something like a job loss. By the way, if you need help with that, we'd love to be a resource for you. The new FaithFi app is available at faithfi.com. It gives you 3 different ways to set up your budget. It'll help you stay on track. If you're married, you and your spouse can always have real-time visibility into what's left in each of your envelopes so you don't overspend. It really is critical to staying on your plan. You can find it, download it today, and learn more at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app, or you can go to your app store and search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. It's also a great time to check it out if you've not heard. Mint, the popular budgeting system that is free, is going away. That's right. They're phasing it out at the end of the year. So if you're one of the 3 million Mint users, there's no time like the present to check out the FaithFi app. Again, download it today and get on track with managing your spending plan at faithfi.com. All right, we're going to head to the phones here and take your phone calls today. I've got some lines open, so if you have a financial question today on any topic, we'd love to hear it. The number is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin in Texas today. Hi, Tina. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm retired, and I'm having some problems with my car, and I'm trying to make a decision. It's 15 years old. It has about 146,000 miles on it, and I did some repair work on it in 2021. I spent almost near 4,000. Well, now I'm having problems with it again. To get everything fixed, it will probably be near 8,000. So my dilemma is whether I should try and get that fixed or just try and get a new car. I have in emergency savings about 30,000 and then 44,000 in cash. So I don't know if I should get a used car, try and get one that I can just pay off since the interest rates are so high right now, or if I should just try and get my car repaired, but I'm afraid it'll punk out on me.
Yeah.
Or either just buy a used car. And
sure.
I don't want any problems with a used car.
No, I could certainly understand that. Well, I'm glad you have an emergency savings, Tina. That's what this is for the unexpected. And I'm glad to hear you're making some progress toward retirement. I'd love for you to keep that up. You said you're driving about 200 miles a week. This is a 2008 Nissan. Given the extent of the repairs, it may make sense to go ahead and replace the car. Generally, the rule of thumb is if the cost of the vehicle's repairs exceeds 50% of its value or more than 1 year's worth of payments, that's obviously not the case here because you don't owe anything on it, then it often doesn't make sense to repair it. You'd be better off replacing it. Have you looked up the value of the car at this point?
The last time I looked it up, I think it was worth maybe $4,000.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There are problems with the transmission, so I don't know if it's worth yeah. that much now.
Yeah, probably not. So, I mean, given that these repair, even if you repaired it and then it was worth $4,000, you've already spent $3,000 and now you're looking beyond that. It's spending double the car's value for these repairs. I would say that doesn't make sense. So I'd rather you get what you can out of it. Perhaps wherever you buy your next car would be willing to take it, especially if it's a dealership where, they'd be willing to sell it, at the auction or for parts. And give you something for it, even though, it's not worth anything to you apart from the repairs, it may be worth something to someone else that would help you, get into that next car. I think the key for you is really to look at what you'd like to spend and then try to buy, a newer used car. We typically would say find something maybe 2 to 3 years old. I think perhaps 3 to 4 years old might be better just because even though used car prices have been getting better, they're still elevated and we're still coming off of the lack of inventories of new cars as a result of the supply chain issues during the pandemic. There was also a chip shortage. So because of that, we didn't have very many new cars on the lots. Therefore, used cars went through the roof. We're building those inventories back. Used cars are coming down. So they're more reasonable now. The only downside is, we've got high interest rates right now. So I think the bottom line is I'd probably not put another $8,000 into this car worth $4,000. I'd look to start figuring out how much you can afford to buy for that next car. And let's see if we can use this car toward that purchase. All the best to you, Tina. Start doing your homework. You can do this. You'll find something. We'll pray that the Lord will direct you to just the right thing. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, using temporal wealth for eternal gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
I'm so thrilled to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We want to be hopeful and encouraging, point you back to God's Word, and help you make solid and wise financial decisions, recognizing that you're a steward and I'm a steward of what God has entrusted to us. God owns it all, and therefore we're His money managers, and we want to use money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We do that by understanding the heart of the master in the scriptures so we can align our decisions with His instructions. That allows us to then be obedient, be wise and faithful in pursuit of hearing well done. That's what our objective here is here on this program each day. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear your financial question today and see if we can tackle it together. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's head back to the phones to Ohio we go. Hi, Chris. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Hey, I'm a middle-aged male, married, 4 kids, and I'd like to possibly set something up for my kids. I have some orphaned accounts, a normal 401k, and I think that can get me through retirement, but I have some orphan accounts, and I'd like to roll those into possibly something for my kids, either for college or even their retirement. And I was trying to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that, Chris. So the orphaned accounts you're talking about, are they old retirement accounts with previous employers, or are they non-retirement accounts?
I think one is, and the other three are just money that I set aside, just, you know, Robin Hood and playing the stock market a little bit. I kind of got out of that because I wasn't paying enough attention to it. So
yeah,
I kind of...
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And then your current employer, you're still working, correct?
Correct.
All right. And so the bulk of your retirement savings is with that current employer. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think for that orphaned 401k with your previous employer, I'd try to roll that into your existing 401k. If the plan administrator will allow it. They generally will. And the benefit of that is then you've just got all of your retirement assets in one place. You can make sure that the investment strategy is appropriate. You don't have one more account to keep up with. I mean, the other option, other than leaving it where it is, which I wouldn't do, is to roll it to an IRA. But then you've got one perhaps smaller account that has, you know, less access to investments because of the amount of money. And it's just one more account to keep up with. So I'd try to keep it all in one place in that current 401k. And then when you separate from your employer in retirement, you'd roll that out to an IRA, which would give you more investment options. And then at that point, I would typically hire an advisor to manage that for you. With these other accounts that are what I call taxable accounts, those would be great accounts to use to get something started for your kids, where you've got a well-thought-out plan to systematically fund these for whatever purpose you have in mind for them. Let's talk about that. Would you like this to be earmarked specifically for college, or do you want it available a bit more broadly?
I feel maybe more broad.
Okay, very good. So if you wanted to do college, I would say use a 529 education savings plan, but you do have to use it for college, or else you're going to get hit with some penalties. Apart from a few options, if it doesn't get used for college, you could, based on some new laws that are changing, haven't gone into effect yet, you'd be able to roll it out to a Roth IRA for the kids, or you could pull it out if they get scholarships or grants. But apart from that, it does need to be used for either, elementary and high school, or ultimately for college. If you really want it to be able to be used for any purpose, then I'd probably keep accounts in your name, or if you're married, you and your wife, jointly held, but earmarked for each of the kids. Because if you were to put it in what's called a custodial account, then it automatically becomes their money at the age of majority in your state, typically 18. And if they're not spiritually or financially mature enough to handle it, you may not want them to have it. You wouldn't have a choice, though, in a custodial account. So that's why I generally recommend you keep it in an account titled in your name. So how many kids do you have?
Four.
Okay. So in this case, what I do is set up four joint accounts in each of the kids' names, and then maybe you want to take those orphaned accounts, divide them up by four, and fund each one, and then you would keep tabs on which one is for which child. Then the only question is, what's our time horizon and what's our investment strategy that goes along with it? One really kind of effective solution that, you know, you don't have to give much thought to once you set it up is what's called a robo-advisor. This is where they use basically indexes using exchange-traded funds to invest the money in a low-cost portfolio where you're not trying to pick the winners and losers, you're just capturing the broad moves of the stock market over time. So I would suggest, if you're interested in a robo solution, that you look at either Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Either of those would be good options. And basically, you could make that initial deposit. You'd answer a series of questions about each of the accounts, because remember, we're going to have four joint accounts. That would determine how much risk they take in terms of how much goes into stock indexes, how much goes into bonds. And then you could make that initial deposit to fund each of the four. And then if you wanted to, you could set up an automatic deposit into each one. I mean, even if it was $25 a month into each of the four, then every time a deposit hits the account, it automatically gets reinvested into whatever the investment strategy is using those indexes, but there's no transaction costs, and the total cost to you per year would be like 0.25%. So it's fairly cheap, and it's just a real simple way to do it. They've got great smartphone apps for you to keep track on it. And that way you'd know, listen, every time I make a deposit, I know something is happening proactively and this money's being deployed into the market, which, if you are going to do a systematic contribution, is great, because you're doing what's called dollar cost averaging. So let's say we do hit a recession next year. Well, if you continue to put in that $25 a month, in my example, as the market heads down, which it would likely during a recession, you're buying more shares of the same indexes with that same, you know, $25 contribution. And then 10 years from now, you know, you got quite a bit of a nest egg to be able to bless the kids with for whatever purpose you decide. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So I would check those out if you like those options, Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Follow the plan that I mentioned. And then with that old 401k, let's see if we can get that rolled into your existing 401k, and then you'll be in pretty good shape. All right.
Okay. I do have one question on that 529 plan, education savings plan. Would that cover like a trade school?
It just depends. It has to be an accredited institution. So you would want to look at that and check, you know, whatever options perhaps you'd be considering. I would want to make sure, you know, you did a little due diligence on that before you made that decision, because depending on what type of school it is, it may or may not be covered. My favorite website to learn more about 529s, Chris, is called savingforcollege.com. Savingforcollege.com. If you did decide to do the 529 plans, that website will actually help you determine whether it's best to use your state's 529, Ohio, or go to another state's plan. They'll factor in whether or not there's a state income tax deduction available to you. There's never a federal income tax deduction, but there may be a state tax deduction. And then it'll compare it to the performance of your 529 plan versus the other 529 plans across the country and help you make that decision. Again, it's savingforcollege.com. Chris, thanks for your call today, my friend. We appreciate it. Ken, Bob, Linda, coming your way just around the corner. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, but it's Monday, which means Bob Dahl stops by with his market analysis and commentary. Bob, good morning to you.
Happy Monday, sir.
Hey, the best week of 2023 in the S&P 500 last week. What do you make of that? Why so much strength?
Well, we were way oversold. We got below our 42 to 4600 trading range, down into the 4100s. And just as the market made a 10% downward move from its high, which a lot of people call a correction, that was the low. And then we had this big bounce. Why did it happen? Oversold. We got some news during the course of the week that inflation is getting a little better. The Fed is feeling a little better about things as well. And then, of course, by the end of the week, Friday, we got an employment report that showed less job growth. So we're in the space, Rob, where bad news is viewed as good news because right. It means less of a threat of inflation.
Yeah.
And that will last for a while until the bad news is no longer good news and bad news becomes bad news.
Right.
And that will happen if we have a recession, which is still our guess. And I think the events of last week only increased the probability that we will see one in the next few months.
Interesting. Yeah, it is an interesting phenomenon when bad is good and good is bad. Bob, you had some comments in your deliberations this week about investors being overly optimistic. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are still witnessing people believing that, well, the Fed's probably done. The economy's okay. Inflation's coming down. Maybe the Fed will lower rates in a few months. And I think a lot of that is still a fairy tale. Remember, the Fed has said since the beginning of their rate increases, our target inflation rate is 2%, and we're not going to sleep well at night until we get it to 2. And Rob, we're still running high 3s to 4% with some wage gains that are keeping that number stubbornly on the high side.
Yeah. Well, wage gains are certainly a part of it. What else, Bob? You also mentioned productivity jumping in Q3. How does that relate to inflation?
That's good news for inflation. We had a better than expected 5.9% jump in third quarter productivity. It just means businesses are more efficient at what they're doing. And that is a help for inflation. So that was some good news last week.
All right. And then what are your thoughts just where we stand today about the prospect of a recession next year? Is that still your base case?
Yeah, still the base case. I wish it weren't. A lot of people, I've used the phrase, have lost the word recession in their vocabulary. But I still think the excesses that are out there, most notably inflation, and to repeat, the fastest and biggest Fed rate increase in history over an 18-month period. The impact of that, some of it is still to be felt. And we're seeing that in earnings. We're still in the middle of third quarter earnings releases. And while the third quarter was okay, the future outlook has a little bit of a wet blanket.
Yeah, that's helpful, Bob. Well, we've been talking about what's going on here domestically. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing around the rest of the globe?
How many hours do you have? You know, it's incredible. Let's just stick with the Middle East for starters. As long as that war stays Israel and Gaza Strip, as sad as it all is, the markets don't care a whole lot. It would only be if Iran and potentially the U.S. are drawn in some way, then oil becomes front and center, and that would not be good news. So we watch carefully and we pray.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Bob, we always appreciate you stopping by. Great update. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. You can learn more or sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations investment commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll get to as many questions as we can before we round out the broadcast today to Oklahoma. Hi, Ken. Thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Had a question. You know, what they pay us on our savings account or CDs versus what the bank charges, say it's the same amount, 6%, 7%. And yet when we pay the money back to the bank, it seems like, how do they figure their interest rate? Because it always, you know, at the end of the year, my interest that they pay on my CD may be $2,000. But yet if I borrow that money from them, I end up paying them back, you know, $4,000. How do they figure their interest? What do they do to make such a difference?
Yeah, well, they're in business to make a profit, so they're always going to win out on that equation. They earn money on what's called the spread of the funds that they lend out from those they take in as a deposit. So there's a term called net interest margin that represents this spread, which is just simply the difference between what it earns on loans versus what it pays out as interest on deposits. Now, they're free to determine their own interest rates that they pay for deposits and charge on loans, and they look at a whole host of factors, including competitors' rates. But a big driver of that is the United States Federal Reserve. So the U.S. Fed sets the federal funds rate, which influences this what's called monetary policy. This is just simply the rate that banks use to lend to one another and trade with the Fed, and that number is often a driver of all of this. There's also something called the prime rate, which is basically the rate that banks use for the ideal customer. So this is usually a corporate customer with a solid credit rating and repayment history. And then that prime rate either, you know, either go up or down from there as they're factoring in the demand and inflation levels and the Fed funds rate and so forth. But at the end of the day, it comes back to this net interest margin, which is this spread between what they earn versus what they pay out. And you can be sure that they're always going to be earning more than they're paying out because, you know, they're in business, again, to make a profit, and they're trying to produce for their shareholders. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. One other question. As I deal in real estate, and, of course, real estate taxes and insurance has gone through the roof, I've thought about purchasing maybe some real estate loans that are like 50% of the value of the property and loaning money on that rather than buy real estate. Is that a good idea, or is that risky, or what do you think?
So explain to me again what it is you're thinking about there.
Say I have a individual I know that they owe, they bought a duplex.
Yeah.
And the duplex sales price is $240,000. They paid on it 5 years.
Yep.
They've got a 7% interest rate.
Yep.
And I go to them and say, hey, let me loan you that money instead. I will be your bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
And rather than me go buy a duplex, again, management, upkeep, taxes, insurance. And I'm thinking I could make 6 or 7% and not have all the headaches that go with that.
Yeah. 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 The challenge is a couple of things. Number one is if they've owned it 5 years, they probably have a better interest rate than 7%. So they might, you know, have a 3 or 4% interest rate. And so you could do better in a CD. Second thing is you just have to understand, you know, banks do this because they're able to spread their risk over lots and lots of borrowers. In this case, you might have one or two. And so that just takes the risk up, because if they default, now all of a sudden you're in the collection business. You're having to evict somebody from a property. You're having to get involved in collections. And you're highly concentrated in one or two borrowers, which, you know, sounds good if they're making their payments. But if something goes, you know, awry in their financial life, even that, you know, they didn't expect or was unforeseen, now all of a sudden you're in a tough spot in collecting. And so I just think, you know, the extra maybe 1% that you might get over a CD is just taking a lot of added risk for that extra 100 basis points. Does that make sense?
Yes. Hey, appreciate all you do. Listen all to you every day.
Well, thank you, Bob. Appreciate your call, sir. God bless you. Let's head to Alabama. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Good morning. I have one. Actually, I got two questions, but hope to get one answered. My wife and I have enough money to pay off our mortgage, which is about 160, and we also have an opportunity to do 11-month CD at 6%. Which would be the best of the two?
All right. So you've got money sitting in a savings account currently, and you're wondering, should I pay off the house or should I put it in a CD?
Correct.
Okay. And how much do you have in savings right now? That exactly 160 or some number higher than that?
About 240 right now.
About 240. All right. And so that includes your emergency fund, correct?
Correct.
All right. And how much do you spend in a typical month, total expenses?
About four.
All right. So you only need about $25,000, you know, at a minimum. So you'd still have that. What is the interest rate on the house?
5.25%.
All right. So the nice thing is it's a guaranteed 5.25%, which you're not going to do much better than that on a CD. And even that's only going to last you, you know, perhaps the next year. Because if you get much further than that, you're going to be down in the fours. From a financial standpoint, it's a wash. But then there's the non-financial side of paying off the house, which is, we have the peace of mind of being unencumbered, and then we could take that mortgage payment and start putting that back into savings. So, you know, at the end of the day, you all need to pray through this and make this call, but I kind of like the idea of paying off the house.
Got time for one more question?
I don't, but I'd love to get you on tomorrow, and I'll say that to Linda and Minnie as well. So you all hang on the line. We'll see if we can get you scheduled for a future broadcast. God bless you, Bob. Thanks for being on the program today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of my producer, Devin Patrick, our call screener today, Robert Youngblood, and providing great research, Mr. Jim Henry, I want to say thanks for being along with us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great day, and I hope you come back and join us tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll be here to do it all over again. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.